Hello, and welcome to another episode of Drinks Break, a conversation with the national newspaper staff writers and editors on cricket in the United Arab Emirates and around the world. It is Friday, November the 28th. I'm Chitrabhanu Kadlail for thenational.ee. Phil Hughes, one of Australia's most talented batsmen of his generation, died yesterday when he was hit on the head by a cricket ball during a domestic game between South Australia and New South Wales in Sydney 2 days earlier. Until yesterday, no player at professional level had been killed by what is characterized as a bouncer. Hughes was just 25 years of age. Joining me on the phone from Dubai to discuss the impact this tragedy will have on the game, including its players, administrators and viewers, is Paul Radley, who's a staff writer on the National Sports Desk. Paul, welcome to the show.
So let's start with what you're seeing in front of you, Paul. So you're at the Sharjah Cricket Stadium, where there's a test match going on between Pakistan and New Zealand. We obviously had a break yesterday. They decided to suspend play, which was, I think, on day two of the game, when they learned the news of Phil Hughes' death. Paint me a picture. What's the mood like? What are you seeing in front of you right now?
Well, it was yesterday in particular. It was an extremely somber. I sort of describe the feeling as being numb. I think nobody really could sort of take in exactly what had happened, because certainly, if I talk from my personal point of view, I had come to the game yesterday morning. I hadn't checked the news, I'd been listening to a podcast in my car on the way to the game, and so obviously hadn't had any news updates on the way to the game. No, hadn't heard the traffic news from Australia, and I just wanted to go into the ground about 10 minutes before the start of play, and I bumped into Mazhar Khan, who's a very recognisable face in charge, who's sort of run charge of cricket for years and years and years, and went to pass the time of day with him, and he said, "I'll call place suspended for the first hour, and they probably won't want to play today at all." And I didn't even think about what he was talking about. I didn't understand, and I just asked him what he was talking about, and he said, "The Australian lad has died," and I could not believe it, because it was just, it didn't pay the severity of the incident a thought. You just don't. It's so difficult to conceive exactly what happened, because you know, people get hit on the head by cricket balls fairly frequently, and the ramifications of it have never ever been that calamitous before. And it was really difficult to sort of take it in, and the players, Pakistani players and the New Zealand players, sat in their dressing rooms digesting the information. The officials would. Just trying to work out exactly what to do for the best, and they called off the play yesterday, and decided to restart the test today, as obviously the second day being delayed by 24 hours. And to be fair, the even now the guys just seem to be going through the motions and playing because they've sort of got to really. Even you know, Mark Graves taking 7 wickets, each of them was just welcomed by nothingness really. They weren't celebrating wickets. Brendan McCullum, similar, he just scored the fastest century by New Zealand in Test, yet it was totally muted and subdued. So the prevailing atmosphere is obviously not a nice one at all.
You described in one of your tweets just a few hours earlier about Chacha, that's Pakistan's greatest cricket fan, who was trying to egg the spectators on. Was it that difficult to inspire them at that point?
Yeah, well, in actual fact, that was one of my salient memories from yesterday morning. Being at the ground, he was there, just sat there alone, looking, you know, totally lost, with no. You know, no happy, joyful cricket fans around him, as he always seems to have whenever you see him, and it just sort of summed up the sorrow of him, really.
Right, and there was another really touching picture that you'd posted on Twitter with, you know, all the Pakistan cricketers walking out with all the bats lined up outside with their caps on it. So yeah, you know, so hard, so difficult for me to, you know, imagine from my office right now how it must be like over there, and certainly how it is like in Australia. But kind of wanted to take the discussion a little bit forward about, you know, the fallout of Hughes'
death. You know, obviously, modern day batsmen these days have been well protected, wearing helmets and you know, chest pads and abdominal guards. And like you said, you know, bouncers are bowled pretty much in every game at great regularity, and batsmen are well protected. Obviously, bowling a bouncer is one way to get a batsman out, and either by getting them to either hook or pull the ball, or, you know, sort of induce some sort of fear in them. But at the same time, I just wanted to ask whether having all this, you know, protection, especially a helmet, does that make a batsman more complacent? Does it make a batsman not work on his technique enough because he knows that, well, he has enough protection to face up to a short ball?
It's difficult to say, really. I suppose it would be more pertinent to ask somebody who was from the, you know, played cricket in the 70s or before then. Mm-hmm. In terms of whether, like, in those days when cricketers didn't wear helmets, they still used to hook and pull, but it was sort of dependent on the character of the player. You know, if they're an attacking player, like, say, Mike Gatting, he got hit in the face famously. He was a very attacking player, and I think he still carried on playing the hook and the pull shot against the quick bowlers even after his injury. I think you mentioned earlier on, or in the message to me earlier on today, Bobby Richards, he was exactly the same, always batted in a hat, even when helmets were you know, prevalent everywhere in the game by the time he was getting to the second half of his career. I just think that was the, you know, certainly some guys are of an attacking mindset, others aren't. I think it's probably more to do with people's personalities rather than necessarily having said that, no, it is right what you say, that the extra, you know, the extra protection that is offered by these things, I'm sure it probably does add to complacency, might not be quite the right word, but you certainly feel more confident doing it, and certainly I think that in the main is for the better, actually.
Right. I mean, there's a theory in the NFL, in American football, that, you know, if people weren't so padded up, there would be fewer head injuries. But I guess that's a whole different discussion. You spoke to Brandon McCullum, the New Zealand captain, shortly before the Sharjah test began. This is after Phil Hughes had been hit and he was taken to hospital. And, you know, McCullum said that such occurrences are freak occurrences. They don't happen that often. But there's been a widespread debate on social media to ban bouncers, or at least limit their usage in cricket further. Some have even suggested there should be, you know, greater scrutiny on the quality of helmets being manufactured. Do you agree with either suggestions, or do you think there's been some sort of an overreaction?
I don't think it would be possible or even advisable to ban bouncers per se, because you know, injuries can happen in other ways. You could be playing on a really uneven pitch, for example, and a quick bowler might bowl a length ball that just leaps. It goes through the top and it leaps off a length from there, and you could be in equal danger in that way. Or, you know, the ball could be pitch like coming quite high, and a batsman could play a cross batted shot and get a top edge into their face or their head as well. So I don't think necessarily, you know, banning bouncers is going to make the game infinitely safer. You know, it's not going to entirely thwart all sorts of problems like that. But in terms of the other thing that you said about helmet manufacturing, you know, obviously helmets, just by the very nature of progress, helmets are as good as they ever have been, and always improving. And obviously, having seen this incident, you assume the helmet manufacturers will be finding ways, obviously, to stop the similar sort of thing happening again. And that just, you know, that's just logic.
Do you reckon the strategy will prey on the minds of fast bowlers? I mean, one's heart goes out to Sean Abbott, the young 22-year-old fast bowler who bowled that ball to Phil Hughes, and, you know, can't even imagine what he must be going through right now. But you know, he's just one of so many fast bowlers in the world right now who might be thinking, hang on a minute, if I run up to even try bowling a bouncer. You know, do I do it? Or, you know, are they going to have second thoughts? You know, Mitchell Johnson, for instance, is going to be leading Australia's pace attack at the GABA when India and Australia play their first Test match next week. You know, what do you think they must be going through? Must be hell.
Yeah, it's difficult to answer that one for certain because in the past, like I think to an incident in an Ashes test a couple of Ashes series ago when Alex Tudor got hit by Brett Lee, a really sickening blow across the the top of his eye. He got smashed by a bouncer and it made a horrible noise here on the stump mic, and the players were straight over to make sure he was okay, and it was really nasty to watch. Yet straight immediately afterwards, Brett Lee was back bowling bouncers again. That though, you know, is in the knowledge that Alex Tudor's obviously his blow wasn't catastrophic. What Phil suffered obviously was. So I think, it's probably fair to say that it will play on people's minds, and whether they'll, like, if you just think back to a recent series between South Africa and Australia, Arnie Morkel gave Michael Clarke a real going over with short pitch bowling, hitting all over the body. And, you know, it was body line bowling. And everybody watched it, certainly the neutral, you watched it and thought that was fantastic sport because it was a gladiatorial contest between a guy who batted brilliantly to get through it and showed unbelievable courage. But now, if we're going to watch similar passages of play through the prism of what we know now, it might be the case that people find that a little bit, you know, beyond the pale to play cricket like that. Whereas, you know, last week it would have been seen as great sport. So I suppose you can't really answer any of those questions. It's just a matter of time proving. Proving how it's going to pan out.
Right. Interestingly, it's not just the fast bowlers. Even team captains are going to be less aggressive. Who knows? You know, at least for a foreseeable period of time, they might just say, you know, let's just back down a little bit, play more attritional cricket. And but it'll be interesting to see, you know, how teams are going to be approaching cricket test matches whenever they play anywhere around the world. But do you think they should be playing the GABA test at all? And do you think there should be an enforced break, at least in Australia, because it is so close to Phil Hughes' death, and obviously some of the players, especially Michael Clarke, the captain, is inconsolable, and for good reason too. And so, do you think they should be given a break? Maybe let them skip the GABA test and go straight to Adelaide for the second test.
Yeah, I think that might be advisable, actually, but I don't think it's something that needs to be enforced on them as such by a high governing body. It should be left to the player, to his friends, to decide whether it is the grief is too raw for them, or whether they want to get back to the sport that Phil Hughes loved and play those fixtures, you know, in his memory. That's certainly something that should be left, in my opinion, that should be left to the players to decide, and that it shouldn't be enforced by, for instance, the ICC or Cricket Australia or anybody like that, in my opinion.
Right. To wrap it up, you know, it must be a double blow for Australia. Phil Hughes' death. It's not just a very promising batting career that's been denied to everyone, but even Sean Abbott, who's played a game for Australia and is considered one of the best young fast bowlers to come out of the country. So we don't know how he's going to be coming out of this. Will he come out, a better person and a stronger cricketer, or do you think he's just going to retire? It's going to be very interesting to see. But thanks, Paul. Thanks for coming on the show. Paul Radley is a staff writer on the National Sports Desk and is based in Dubai. This episode of Drinks Break was edited by Marwan Alhamadi and produced by the National's Multimedia Desk. You can follow our sports coverage on Twitter at SPRT National UAE and our multimedia coverage at NSV UAE. You can also follow Paul's tweets, especially from the Sharjah Test, at Paul Radley. I'm Chitrabhanu Kadlail.